gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant. Or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Episode 211. We said it was 212 when we entered this podcast. We were a little distracted talking about keys, and you'll hear it in a second. But we're going to talk about the spring practice a little bit, and then we're going to recap the draft. And this actually turned into a pretty funny episode. Got to talk a lot about the guys who just got new homes in the NFL, and it's pretty exciting. Love to see Hawks succeed. Let's have a day, baby. Let's go.
We used to eat a lot of cheese, dude. Like way too much cheese. Like, our cholesterol is probably through the roof.
Yeah, and that's how we come into episode 212 here.
Welcome back, Washoe Walk-Ons fans. Kevin's cholesterol is coming back down from his time at Iowa football. We just recorded a legendary episode with Mark Wiseman. We're in our, minute 90 of being on the Zoom meeting right now. Kluver said we had to do another one and act like we gave a shit about this one after we just got done recording with Mark Wiseman.
True.
So sorry in advance about the lackluster 212. I mean, I'm in a pretty good mood, decently fired up because Mark is a legendary human being, as you guys have all found out by this point. I don't know, Kluver, take it over, man.
Well, I wanted to make sure that we didn't skip over our boys. This is going to be a shorter episode. This comes off the heels of the second spring day practice, which I'm not going to talk much about. Because I'm not a football analyst. I'm not Mel Kiper, you know, like, Todd. That's not me. I don't do football analyzing, but it was good. It was a hot day in Kinnick Stadium. It was fucking beautiful. It's always a good day to be in Kinnick, but when the weather's nice, it's even better. It was a little bit windy, and my assessment of where the Iowa football team is at right now, currently, as May comes into the picture, this is what I told the boys. The defense is much, much, much further along than the offense is. And that's
weird.
Yeah.
Never heard of that before.
Well, I would say, shut up. I would say, even though it's that way all the time, and the reason for that, for those who like, aren't.
Hoover, pause real quick. You want to know what else is one thing all the time? My hatred for Kevin.
Yeah, right? Smug it. Dude, and like he just takes that. Yeah. You're right.
Right back at you, asshole.
And that's what makes the pod good. For those that don't understand that, the reason the defense comes along a little bit easier than the offense does is there's a timing thing. The offense is on a planned play, right? They're trying to enforce a plan. The defense is reactionary to that plan. And so in the early stages of a season, it's just easier to be further along on the defensive side of the ball. And that is coupled with the fact that
they know every play that's coming because they know the hand signals. They know their calls that beat all of our calls. They know our third down calls. Like, come on, get off our nuts.
I never learned. No, we never learned the hand signals. Learned some of the audibles, though. Learned some of the audibles. Never learned the hand signals.
Oh, you know what Bama East means, dude?
Kevin, yeah, how did you approach that on the defensive side? Like, knowing that you now know, okay, they just audibled to this play. How do I play this like I'm a dummy here, but I actually know the play? Like, how did you do that?
I mean, maybe you adjust your alignment a half a step one way or the other, and you're just, you know, you still read your keys, but you're just, you know, half a second quicker on that key to just, you know, pull a trigger on something, you know?
Sure.
It's, yeah. I mean, yeah, because the worst thing you do is, like, you think you know the play, and then those sneaky assholes pull some trick one on you, and they throw a touchdown over your head. Like, that'd be the worst thing in the world.
Look so, like a complete
you make sure you make sure you see what you know is coming, and then you go.
Yeah, that makes sense. So that's what I saw.
Another thing for the defense is, like, we've been running the same defense for the last 20 years, and we've had a lot of stability in the defensive coaching staff, so that's also very helpful. I mean, we got new offensive line coach, new running back coach this year, so
here's another defense is going down. I think I truly believe that a defensive line's confidence is higher than an offensive line's confidence against its own team, because they have to go against each other every single day. And defensive linemen are notoriously kind of arrogant when it comes to, like, you know, they think that they can get to the pass rusher or the passer no matter what. They're going to beat you. They're going to get a million sacks.
Yeah.
Like, they're already coming in with that confidence, and they practice against you every day, so they know how to beat you. I think that plays a big factor, because if the offensive line gets dominated in practice, forget about it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the defensive player's mindset, and you look at it like and wide receivers, they carry some sort of diva in them as well. But that defensive side of the ball does seem to have the maybe over.
You hear that, Kevin? You hear that? Playing with some divas. We're just good down to earth humans. Put our hand in the dirt and try and run forward.
I'm saying that.
Yeah, I know, man.
More
often. I'm just out there trying to fucking plug up the pile for that boss play, dude.
Plugging holes, dude. Kevin, you're great at that. So, and I want to just skip right past that little joke I just made, but I just don't think I can because of Drake's reaction on the video. So, yep, that was a sexual joke. Sorry, that's what you get here. You're not going to get that on Hawkeye Report or Hawkeye Nation or the Hawkeye Podcast with John Miller, as good as that is and as much information as he brings. You're just not going to get the plug and holes jokes, okay?
But at 212 episodes in, if you didn't laugh, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. And here's the issue is, right now, and I mean, this used to be a staple, it still is, for an Iowa football team. It's really for any football team, you build from the inside out. You start at the line of scrimmage, and then you get to the second level, and then you get to the outside or the third tier of the defense. And Iowa's question marks right now are on both the offensive and defensive lines, and that is uncommon. Now,
hey, dude, do you think we're ever going to have somebody actually wreck their car listening to our podcast?
I would love it, man.
I come out with a two-liner like that, bang, bang, and they just can't control it, and they run into, an embankment.
Yeah, they spill a coffee, and it burns the shit out of them, and they just drive right off into Lake McBride.
What's the liability behind that? Are we liable for that, or?
No chance, bro. I got good insurance, I think.
Yeah, I'll just start inserting a little thing on the end, like, hey, if you suffer cardiac arrest or any other bodily harm due to listening to the podcast, you can either buy the replacement parts from Kevin or fuck off, because it's not our fault. Like, hey, that's what you get, man. This isn't Morehouse and Miller. This is Kluver, Kulik, and Ward. And I was about to say Kevin, but that would have been Triple K, and we're not trying to go down that road. So
it's not that kind of podcast, man. My name's Drake, and it starts with a D, and I'm going to break this bullshit up right now.
Yeah, the DTK podcast.
Which actually is down to kill.
Sure. Anyway, back to the Iowa football team. There's a lot of injuries, and there's a lot of questions, right? there was three starters that were out not practicing yesterday on the offensive line. And the defensive line is very young and has guys out as well, potential starters. So it's hard to even know where the lines sit right now. But I do know this. The second and third levels of our defense are elite. They are elite. And that's just what it is. The receiving core, Tyrone Tracy did not play or did not practice yesterday. And Kevin or Drake, you sent that, or Ike, I think, sent the Iowa football Instagram story, which was being run by Tyrone Tracy. There's some change in the program. We would have never been able to run the Instagram story right there.
And it's actually kind of bullshit because for the spring game, our senior year, I had a broke leg and a broke shoulder. I could have ran the video. I could have, hey, guys, look at this.
That would have been a fantastic Instagram story if Drake was running the gram. So Tracy was out, which left, again, I think Tracy is clearly the number one, but then you look at that second tier. I think Arlen Bruce and the freshmen's Arlen Bruce and Keegan Johnson, I think they both play meaningful reps this year. I think that Desmond Hudson is a big dude, number 81. And you also have Reganey and Max Cooper. You have a bunch of guys that are just going to be able to go in and, like, run routes and get reps, right? So it's not about talent. I think we have it. I think we have production there. Peters had an above average day, I'd say. It was a decent day. It was windy. It was tough for all the quarterbacks. I think that's still a 1-2-3 Peters, Padilla, Hogan situation. I think Hogan throws the best ball, like the most pure ball between all of them. It's just so much tougher than people would like to think when they're getting recruited and then they come to Iowa, you have to learn a whole new program. It's just going to take a while for him to get it right. And I think Peters is the guy I really think Peters is the guy. And we'll see how that develops. He's still got a whole summer and a full fall camp. So that's huge. Defensively, it seems every year we hold teams to like 16 points a game or 17 points on average. And Coach Parker would still be like, it's not fucking good enough. It's not good enough. And that's where Kevin's mentality comes from too. But I think it might even be lower. We might have, if we can get a couple guys, you know, if we can get Kevin to come back and plug some holes for us on that D-line.
Who has higher blood pressure on Saturdays, Kevin or Phil?
Oh, God. Dude, Phil's baseline blood pressure is 200 over 140. It's that bad. I mean, he's living on the fence of health, something bad going. I mean, he just, and you know what, actually, this is funny, and my brother said it after practice. He goes, Coach Parker actually was really calm today. That was weird. That was odd.
The thing about Coach Parker is, like, sometimes during the game you get this feeling like, yeah, he can get pissed off and he can shout at guys, but underneath it, like, he's very calm at it, like, still knows his game plan, like, never gets
– Yeah.
He never goes, to use a poker term, he never goes on tilt.
Yeah, he never goes on tilt.
You can get players that, you know, start to get a little rattled, you know. Never Phil Parker.
Or even Brian Ferentz will get a little tilty sometimes, you know?
I don't know though, because tilty would suggest that you would start going crazy.
Yeah.
And our offense has very rarely ever been considered crazy.
Right, you're right. When you go on tilt, it's kind of like the point of you start to behave differently and call.
Like, that's like if the defensive coordinator would go on tilt for another team. It's just like, you know, all out blitz.
Yeah.
Four plays in a row.
We're going all out eight-man blitz.
Yeah, exactly.
Running I used to NCAA, which is evidently coming back. I used to run that on there all the time. Or Madden, all out blitz. So that's basically it. It's going to be interesting to see what happens through the summer. The biggest thing for the Hawks right now, they got to get healthy. They got a bunch of Drakes walking around out there. They got the arm sling. They're on the frickin' scooters. They're on the crutches. Guys are getting hauled up out of the stadium on carts. I mean, we got to get healthy, man.
Hey, but I'll tell you what. There's good news for us because I got healthy about 10 days before kickoff.
Yeah, and as long as you do.
That's all it takes, dude. The first day of camp that year, people were laughing at me because I couldn't even block Jake Gervais. Jake Gervais made me look so foolish in the open field that you'd have thought I was the fucking manager and this was a Make-A-Wish commercial.
Oh.
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed Assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, man. At some points in time, it kind of felt like, yeah, it kind of felt like that.
I'm glad that joke hit, though.
Jake's looking pretty diesel these days. He's stacked up. He's looking to play linebacker this year. He's pretty big these days.
Well,
and he's been talking shit to me, too, because he said he's coming back, and he's coming back to the gym to give me some work.
Is he on those Oregon candies?
No Oregon candies. I'll bet his wife has been making him some delicious dinners, though. Yeah. And I'll bet he's been taking advantage of all the calories that he can.
Yeah. Shout out
to him. Maybe a little creatine.
Yeah, I need to get on some creatine, honestly. So we're going to close this episode. This is going to be a short episode. We want to talk about the draft. That's really what we want to hit. We got some boys. Some boys went in the draft. 4, to be exact, and then a shitload more signed with teams as undrafted free agents, which you know us three wouldn't know anything about. Hey, never done that before.
Can't know it.
So let's start with Chauncey Golston. First off the board for the Hawks, 3rd round to the Dallas Cowboys. Let me actually pull this up. I got a little article. You like that?
I like that a lot. I believe they run a 4-3 scheme down there. He's going to fit in real well with that scheme. I told you, like in our draft preview, I could see him going in the 3rd round, and I think they got good value for their pick there.
Well, you're smart as shit, Kev. You know what you're talking about. I talked to Coach Woods yesterday. Coach Woods said he listened to our podcast with Chauncey. He said it was one of his favorites. Said he was ear to ear smiling the entire time, having a blast listening to it. And I talked with him.
That makes my heart smile, dude. If there's anything that can make the Grinch's heart grow a little larger, it's hearing the coaches like our podcast.
Dude, and I talked to him. I was like, I think Chauncey has the biggest ceiling. And he's like, I agree. He has so much room to just grow and become a absolute beast when it comes to the fundamentals, pairing it with his physical kind of tangible gifts of length and size.
He's got such a frame on him, man.
If you
really
watch
any defensive players,
so there was a couple of elite pass rushers take. Well, like that one pass rusher for sure, the long lanky kid from, was it Miami? I don't know. He wore number 15 and he got taken early.
Yeah.
He had some elite like quickness and smoothness to his moves. But other than that, Chauncey looked like one of the smoothest pure pass rushers in the draft.
Smooth.
Because everybody else had some real choppiness and definitive breaks in their motion, and Chauncey was just kind of gliding through the space.
That's the biggest thing I see when I watch Chauncey play is he moves well.
His development in the run game, too, has come so far from where he started. Like he's an all-around defensive end. He's a great player.
Cowboys got a good one, and I would not be surprised to see him work his way onto the field at all. He's going to get reps, and he's a culture guy. Like, when we did that podcast with him, I was like, holy shit, dude, Chance, you're an awesome dude. Like, I never talked to you this much, and you're just a good guy. Like, it's amazing. 84th pick overall, first Hawkeye off the board. And then it got a little bit weird because a lot of people.
What was your biggest surprise? It had to be all of our surprise had to be the same.
Fabian Fallon?
Yeah, it had to be.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to.
He's like first team All-American. And like, I understand you don't have much tape, but when you're a unanimous first team All-American, you typically just get a little more respect than that.
Yeah. I mean, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, All-American D-lineman. And at one point, he was in Mel Kiper's top 10. And then he falls to the third Hawkeye taken. And it was kind of cool. We went back-to-back. We go Amir at 157 to the Vikings. We'll talk about
Skull.
Skull. So a lot of Hawk fans in the Midwest are gonna get to watch him potentially wear the old purple.
A lot of people are just calling that Kinnick, whatever direction it is.
Kinnick North.
Yeah.
And
I ain't good with maps.
Right. And then 158, one pick later, goes Davion to Carolina. So he's going to be a Panther. And cool to see two Hawks go in a row. I think it says right here. So ISM got a $320,000 signing bonus. And total compensation of just over $1 million as a rookie. And then Davion got the same. So they both cashed in on $320,000 for signing bonuses, which is elite.
That is elite. I hope they know that a lot of tax.
Fifth round signing bonuses are that big now?
That's what it says.
Sheesh. Man, why the fuck didn't we make the NFL?
Suck.
We made
horrible career choices.
Do you want me to read you the long list of reasons? Or, like.
Yes.
Okay. We're all slow. That's a big one.
Oh. I disagree, dude. I felt fast until I pulled my hamstring. So I'm debating that one.
I mean, I did run a 4.89. So, several people, by the way, those of you, I really, really appreciate the love on Twitter. Two long snappers were drafted, and you're like, wow, Tyler Kluver got snubbed. You got to look at how big they are, man. They're both 6'1 or taller. They called the 6'1 guy from Alabama he was like undersized at 6'1. Like, it's like, boys, hey, I'm 5'2. That's what I am. I'm 5'2". Hey? You can't have Violet in blueberry form running around out there long snapping and then trying to go tackle guys.
Violet, you're turning Violet.
Yeah. Like, that's what I would have been. 5'2", 816 pounds. And that's nobody wanted that as a long snapper. I really appreciate it. My long snapping skills?
Fired missiles.
Missiles. Just everything else didn't work out. Our guy.
I remember at our pro day, they asked you to snap. Hey, snap one as hard as you can. Just snap one as hard as you can. We just want to see it.
Yeah.
You like fired an absolute piss missile back.
Wow.
Like, holy shit, that was awesome.
I mean, I couldn't do any more than they wanted me to do. I was basically a fucking. I was the clown show because it was
you
like
capitalized, bro. Like, or I guess you took advantage of your opportunity. You didn't capitalize, but you took advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, hey, look, they've got you know when the midget wrestling comes to town? And I don't want to offend, I don't know, I think it's little people now, or I don't want to offend people. When the little people wrestling comes to town, when the scouts came to Iowa City for pro day, and they saw me snapping, they were like, oh, we get to watch Josie Jewell and Ike Butker and everybody do their thing, and then they also brought us a clown show for entertainment. They have a little person who can snap just as well as all of the guys in the league, but he's only 4 feet tall.
The little person can do just as good as the big people. He thinks he's one of us.
The scouts were confused. They thought they were looking around like, I forgot to pay at the door because I didn't know that this was an entertainment show. That's what it was. So that's why I didn't go to the NFL. It's purely height. It definitely wasn't anything else.
That's a hilarious bit there from out of nowhere.
Yeah. This surprised me. Face Neiman goes sixth round to the Chargers.
I hit up Ben and I'm like, they always said your brother was better, and now we know it.
Yeah, Ben wasn't drafted, man.
Elite, elite needle out of you there, Jake. But, yes, Nick was known as the – I don't know if it was just to piss off Ben.
It's a better Neiman.
Even when they were recruiting him, there's, like, the faster, more athletic Neiman.
Hey.
He proved – yeah.
No, he runs 4.4 and gets drafted. And, Ben, you're a shitbag. And, Super Bowl, ooh, cool, your brother got drafted and runs 4.4.
Now
– So – Yeah, I think his pro day is what got him drafted.
100%.
He was a great player. You know, played the position very well. But his pro day showed off really how truly athletic he was. That's what got him drafted.
And I'll say this. Credit to Ben as well, because I would not doubt.
Absolutely.
I would not doubt that they look at Ben and they're like, hey, this is what Ben Neiman's doing with the Chiefs. Can we just get a prototype and have him do the same thing for us, be an elite special teams guy, maybe play some linebacker reps? Clearly in his pro day, he shows that he has the numbers to do that. Fuck, we're going to pick this guy up.
And we know the kid can run third down. He runs 4.4. He can play on third down.
And, right, it's a very low-risk thing because, like, you know Ben, like his dad's a coach. They're like, okay, we're not going to get a fuckhead out of this guy. So, like
– Yeah.
Not going to be a complete swing and miss. He'll be a solid player, and we can do something with this guy, and it's not like we're going to piss away a draft pick.
Super elite, and Nick Neiman now signs on the dotted line and gets a little $214,000 signing bonus. So cash it in, baby. It's unbelievable.
Fucking bastards.
I know, dude. It's called inflation, and we can just be jealous of it. So four
they're actually playing under a small salary cap right now. I'm surprised they're getting all this money.
Yeah. And then I don't want to skip over ISM and Devontae and where they're going. Amir is going to go to the Vikings. First wide receiver drafted in 9 years since Marvin McNutt. And I don't think we've had a wide receiver catch a pass in an NFL game, regular season game, since Tim Dwight in the 2000s era. So, what are Amir's chances here?
Good. Real good. He's a return specialist, dude.
I think he makes the
team.
I think he makes the team.
Dude, he makes the team. And, you know, especially these days, I mean, teams have just got stacked wide receivers. They run the rotation through. He'll see the field for sure.
Yeah. Now, with Davion, Carolina's sitting there laughing at every other team because they just got a steal.
You have to
assume he got a first round talent in the fourth round.
One of the biggest steals of the entire draft. He has to be.
And he's definitely.
Fourth, was it fourth or fifth round?
Fifth round.
Fifth round.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And so, I mean, this is a Desmond King situation, kind of. I mean, and so I know Davion's past. There was some things in 2018. He was, he went to Iowa Western for a reason. He had trouble with school, I believe, at one point. But if he can keep everything off the field in check, you know, good citizen, work hard, do what he's supposed to, stay out of trouble, Davion is, I mean, he's got the potential physically to 2-3 years down the line look back and go, wow, that 21 draft. Davion is the steal of the entire thing. He's that good. So,
sure.
And just watching them play the highlight of him pick six and on Penn State, it gets more athletic every time I see it, dude. It's fucking wild. We'll cap it with this. My life dream was to be an undrafted free agent. I mean, it's all I wanted. God damn it. And we had 7 guys do it.
I was pretty surprised that AJ didn't get drafted. I thought Alaric was definitely a good enough
offensive. Very, very surprised that AJ not getting drafted. And even Brandon Smith, I thought, would get drafted.
I thought both of them would go in the late 6th, 7th round, but they didn't. Alaric Jackson is going to be heading out to L.A. as well. He's going to be playing for the Rams. I think he's got a good shot to make the team, honestly.
I absolutely think he can make the team.
Sometimes it's better to get
Yep.
You know, rather than a 7th-round pick, be a free agent because you can sometimes pick the situation you can go to.
Yep.
And you most likely have the best chance to make it. So you can, like, talk to your agent and it's like, okay, well, they got this many linebackers and, you know, this guy's going to be a veteran this year. He's going to be expensive. They might want to be looking to get rid of him, and that could be a good spot for you.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's an advantage to being a free agent.
100%. 100%. And I hope that, and I imagine with all these guys, they probably played that game a little bit because, yeah, you're locked in if somebody drafts you. You don't get to choose. But otherwise, then you look and you're like, fuck, these guys got, you know, Lark sits there and he goes, these guys got a lot of tackles. I don't know if, you know, I want to go here. They're kind of lacking depth a little bit. He's going to be a Ram.
Yep.
Brandon Smith is joining Chauncey Golston in Dallas. That's going to be cool. They have elite receivers, and so he's going to get to learn behind some – who do they have? They have
Amari Cooper.
They have Amari, and then they have the young kid, too, from last year.
CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb. So, I mean, Brandon Smith, he's got the fucking blueprint to look at to learn how to do it. Byers,
especially from CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb's a Brandon Smith prototype.
Yeah.
Well, I guess vice versa.
Byer is going to
Denver.
Be tight end buddies with Noah in Denver.
Dude, I bet him and Josie are going to be roommates.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
He'll probably just take the spare room of Josie's one.
Yeah, I think Josie probably reached out to him. Jack Heflin, who was defensive tackle, he is going to – oh, actually him and – Coy Kronk from the offensive line last year are both headed to Green Bay. Cole Banwart and Mekhi Sargent are both going to join Tennessee. So
Tennessee also has a lot of Hawks on.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. So guys, literally getting
money. Yep.
Guys getting to go everywhere. I don't know. So this sucks, but the only person who I haven't heard sign yet is Keith Duncan, and I told everyone it's going to be tough for him to make a team because he has to be able to kick off. They're not just going to take a field goal guy. And this is how tough it is, man. The specialist game is serious when it comes to the NFL. There's 32 jobs, and it's just no one wants to give those jobs up, and it's impossible to make it. And Keith Duncan, snubbed for the Groza, has two great years to finish his career, and I don't even know if he's signed with a team. He'll get invites to camps, 100%. But no UDA deal yet for him. So it's a tough world out there, man. I don't know what to say.
The NFL is a ruthless bitch.
Yeah.
And it never gets less ruthless.
Yeah.
So you just have to get used to the pain of your favorite player's career is just ending abruptly as hell because that's life.
Yeah. Two other quick notes. Former Hawkeyes, Manny Rugumba and Romeo McKnight both heading to Cleveland. The Browns, they're going to get a chance with the Browns. So
I really hope Manny makes it. I don't know Romeo very well, but I know Manny well, and I really, really hope he makes it.
I didn't know this, but he tweeted this when he got the call after the draft. He was in a refugee camp when he was young.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's, like, made it all the way to getting a shot in the NFL. Like, that's a story. And supposedly he's the first Rwandan ever in the league, like, to get a chance. So,
wow.
Fucking, I hope he makes it. I hope all the boys make it. What are the odds of these guys making it? You know, teams bring in.
Maybach did it. We just watched Maybach go as an undrafted free agent and make it. Now he's got, like, year six as an NFL vet.
Ben Neiman, he's an undrafted free agent.
Our man is Ben Neiman. Got a fucking Super Bowl ring.
I think, I don't know for sure.
Ike is going to be starting for his fourth year.
Yeah, Ike. You know, Iowa guys definitely have better chances than most. But general odds, I think teams bring in 25 or 30 undrafted free agents every year. And I...
No. It's like, no.
Is it 15 or 20?
No, it's like 15.
Okay, so it's like 15 or 10.
It's like 10 to 15. Yeah.
Okay, well, it's and I would say like one or two make it out of that group. So
there's only 53 spots.
To active roster, yeah, and then you got a number make the practice squad.
Yeah, and then you got practice squad, of course. So, you know, you're looking at a small chance, but all they need is an opportunity, right? Like once you get the opportunity, then it's on you, and that's what these guys are looking at. So cool to see a bunch – I mean – Iowa extends its streak of draft picks. We've had somebody drafted, thanks to Austin Blythe, who just barely got us in there in 15, for like, I don't know, 50 or 60 straight years at this point.
Which is now crazy to think about because, like, Austin Blythe was the only dude from that team. I know we talked about this before, but now we're getting guys drafted left and right. Like, it's just a normal thing every year to see a guy go in the first round, to see a couple guys go in the first couple of days. Like, we just got used to it now.
Yeah.
We almost didn't have somebody drafted and we went to the Big Ten Championship.
Yeah. It's wild. I think that speaks to the recruiting classes and how we've and how well Iowa has done in the past 5 years. I mean, they really have recruited the shit out of the scene and got guys to come in.
And then shout out Josie because he held our class together.
Yeah, thanks, Joes. Who we've been trying to get on, and him and Ike have both been flaking on us. So bullshit, honestly. they act like they started their the season started up again. They actually have responsibilities. I know they're just on Zoom calls. Yeah, they act like they have kids to take care of. I mean, are you kidding me, all right? Holy shit.
I mean, Ike was just at a wedding this weekend. He can't do a damn Zoom call.
Seriously. We'll have them on soon, but we wanted to make sure we hit the draft and make sure that we reminded you guys for the 100th time that we did not make the NFL because that's our sole goal.
Bada-bing.
That's it. Kevin, hope you return safely home to Iowa City. And Drake, I hope you have a fantastic Sunday. We'll be recording another podcast tonight, as long as Kevin, regardless if you return safely or not, we're going to record tonight. So
what if I get choked to death? What if he wrecks and I get choked to death?
Me and Jaleel by ourselves? That'd be funny.
Get your pants down!
Jaleel Johnson coming on, and you'll hear from him next week because we're just knocking out pods today, but, thank you guys for listening, as always, and we'll talk to you later.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo. We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams. Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today. So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics. Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram, too.